Tobacco executives were the most criminal, disgusting, sadistic, degenerate group of people on the face of the earth, according to one widely quoted anti-tobacco activist. Out of this environment sprang forth the unconstitutional tobacco settlement, whereby big tobacco agreed to pay $246 billion to state governments. Why would the tobacco companies agree to a settlement that cost them so much money and that forced them to take out ads disparaging their own product and pay for educational efforts to dissuade children from ever becoming their customers? The reason, quite simply, is that it was in their interests. The tobacco companies not only had their lawsuits settled, they bought government approval of a new illegal cartel. Big Tobacco raised prices above the costs imposed by the settlement, guaranteeing a tidy profit. Smaller companies who did not agree to the settlement are still forced to make large escrow payments. When these firms started to thrive, cutting into the market share of the big tobacco companies, state governments jumped in and ordered them to make even larger payments. All states have an interest in reducing sales by non-settlement companies in every state, Vermont's Attorney General warned fellow state attorneys general. The government, in effect, enforces a system by which small businesses are crushed in order to maintain the high profits of big tobacco. Now, you might think this is all fine. But how exactly is this a free market approach? How exactly is this unlike the corporatism of fascist Italy, Nazi Germany, and Hugh Johnson's NRA? This is the hidden history of big business, from the railroads of the 19th century to the meatpacking industry under Teddy Roosevelt, to the outrageous cartel of big tobacco today. Supposedly, right-wing corporations work hand in glove with progressive politicians and bureaucrats in both parties to exclude small businesses, limit competition, ensure market share and prices, and generally work as government by proxy. Many of JFK's action intellectuals were businessmen who believed that government should be run by post-partisan experts who could bring the efficiencies of business to government by blurring the lines between business and government. Big businesses rallied behind LBJ, not the objectively free enterprise Barry Goldwater. Free marketeers often decry Richard Nixon's wage and price controls, but what is usually forgotten is that big business cheered them. The day after Nixon announced his corporatist scheme, the president of the National Association of Manufacturers declared, "The bold move taken by the president to strengthen the American economy deserves the support and cooperation of all groups." Jimmy Carter's supposedly prescient efforts to tackle the energy crisis led to the creation of the Energy Department, which became and remains a piggy bank for corporate interests. Archer Daniels Midland has managed to reap billions from the environmental dream of green alternative fuels like ethanol.